Rough Rider Radio is paid for by Yavapai College and is solely responsible for its content.
From the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A, it's time for Rough Rider Radio, a focus on Yavapai College. And now, here's your host for Rough Rider Radio, Kim Capen.
Welcome to Rough Rider Radio, the show about all things related to Yavapai College, your community college. We have two very informative guests with us today. First up is Richard Hernandez, director of the Regional Economic Development Center, a.k.a. the REDC. What does he do? Quite a bit, actually, helping connect business with skilled labor and a lot more. Later in the show, we'll chat it up with fitness guru Paula Tomitz. She's been a competitive bodybuilder, personal trainer, business owner, and wellness expert. Looking forward to that and getting some help tips for myself as I struggle to age gracefully. We're going to take a short break and return with Richard Hernandez.
Follow your passion at Yavapai College. Are you interested in the world of numbers, computers, and business? Then the School of Business and Computer Systems is the place for you. Yavapai College's highly trained instructors will guide you in the areas of computer networking, accounting, paralegal studies, hospitality, and more. Combine your creative abilities with the technical know-how at Yavapai College and lay the groundwork for a new career. Visit their website today at yc.edu and learn to do what you love. You're listening to Rough Rider Radio on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, Kim Capen.
And we are back with Richard Hernandez, director of the college's Regional Economic Development Center. Hey, Rich, thanks for joining us today. You know, you come to Yavapai College with a lot of experience. You've been with UPS and other companies. You had your own business at one time in your life, and you've worked as a business analyst here for our SBDC. So you bring an awful lot to the table for our region in terms of developing custom training and connecting workforce with local business. So tell us a little bit about how you got here. It's a fascinating story.
How I got to Yavapai College or how I got to Prescott or both?
Both. You can wrap them all up.
All right. Well, I'm a native Californian. I know that's not probably something to lead off with, but I am.
I will admit that I am too.
So I left Southern California when I was about 17 years old. In fact, I celebrated my 18th birthday here in Phoenix. I went to school in Tempe. I won't say where, but Tempe. And while I was at class one day, a friend of mine, another student, said, "Hey, they're hiring dock workers out at this company called UPS. At that point, I hadn't even seen a brown vehicle. I didn't know what UPS was. I assumed it was the post office. But I had been working as a janitor for Sears and Roebuck on Camelback Road there. And they used to lock us in the building at night, and we'd clean the place up, and then they'd come back and get us at 2 in the morning and let us out, hopefully. So I think it's appropriate to say I was probably making about $2.80 an hour, and UPS was hiring at $3.25. So as a young 17-year-old student, you know what happened.
That's a no-brainer right there.
I jumped ship and went to work for UPS. Funny story about how I got hired. The interview was with a gentleman that was mature, gray-haired. He'd been sitting behind a desk and was talking to this young skinny kid about working for UPS. Well, the interview went okay, but I didn't leave there with a strong sense that I got the job until I got up and the gentleman rolled his sleeves up. And this gentleman was Semper Fi, if you know what that means. And he had the bulldog, the USMC bulldog, tattooed on his forearm. I happened to catch that out of the corner of my eye, and my father was a drill instructor at Pendleton in the Marine Corps. So I saw that, and I said, "Are you Semper Fi, sir?" And he says, "What do you know about that kid?" And I never had the honor of serving because of the end of the Vietnam War. The timing was just not right. Mm-hmm. So he said, "What do you know about that kid?" And I said, "My father's a DI at Pendleton." He said, "You'll be here tonight at 5 o'clock.
And that was it.
That kicked off a 37-year career at UPS.
Yeah, so you had a number of different roles while you were at UPS and really gained some valuable experience. And it really was the essence of your career.
For those who don't know, UPS up until 1999 was a privately held company held by its managers and supervisors by us, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And UPS has a strong work ethic, but also a strong developmental philosophy. So they would take young supervisors and managers and move them through departments. So I spent time in HR, I spent time in industrial engineering, in operations, in airline, blah, 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 all through my career, I should say. Also, I'm one of few people, I think, that can say I've been in all 50 states because of my career with UPS, mostly with the airline. So back after I got the job as a 17-year-old kid, it wasn't too long. I think I was 19 when I first put a tie on and was given a managerial responsibility.
That's still very young to be a manager.
It was very young. Timing is everything. 1975, UPS linked up the 48 states. So they had a huge need for management. So right place, right time kind of thing. But while I was working for UPS, I had the privilege of vast levels of experience, you know, just different assignments, different locations. I even spent a year in Munich, Germany, working on a project, Hawaii on the opposite side of the globe, if you will. But
yeah, some great experience. So you did 37 years with UPS. How did you end up in Prescott, Arizona, knowing that you had some history in Phoenix? I'm guessing there was a little connection there.
Remember that 17-year-old kid?
Yeah, I remember that kid.
So while we were at school back then, the age of consumption was 18 or 19, I think. I can't remember. But the kids used to come up from you know, spring break kind of relief up to Whiskey Row. And I'd remembered Prescott, and I knew that when I retired, I wanted to be close enough to my family in Southern California that I could go visit easily.
Sure.
But that they would have to call before they come visit me.
A nice little buffer zone, a DMZ.
And Prescott, you know, just the lifestyle, the weather. I'm used to a little higher elevation. Yeah. You know, I grew up in Surf City, USA. I liked it.
Yeah.
So I ended up back in Prescott when it came time to retire.
Sure. And you're retired, and something was calling your name because you did end up at the SBDC, the Small Business Development Center here at the college. How did that come about?
I did. That was a full-time position at the SBDC, but prior to that, I worked in the Performing Arts Center.
Ah.
And, boy, that was the best gig I ever had.
What'd you do over there?
I hope Mitchell's listening. You know, I have an engineering background, so I was doing the lighting and some of the audio and stuff like that and doing stagehand, just whatever they needed me to do, but it was part-time. And I had been retired for a couple of years. You know, I traveled all my life, all my career, and then in retirement also. But I just got bored. You know, it just wasn't me. I just couldn't sit at home. One thing I didn't count on, I'll share with the audience if you don't mind. You know, you do all your planning, you got all your finances, everything ready to retire, right? But if you retire young, everybody around you is not.
Exactly.
You know, the other fellow retirees are a little more mature than I was when I retired. And everybody who's young like you is still working. So I was truly alone. And I got bored really
fast. Sure, yeah. You need that socialization and that connection. And certainly if your peer group is younger and still working, that could be a little disquieting if you think, all right, I'm ready to hang out with my homies and travel and do all that, but they're still at work.
Exactly. And so I found a home here at Yavapai College. I mean, the people here, I call them my friends, and I just love it here. I just love it here.
Fantastic. So you ended up moving into the director position for the REDC. Tell us about the Regional Economic Development Center and what it does for the community.
So the Regional Economic Development Center is one of many ways the college implements its role in the community. The REDC provides statistical analysis, networking, just raw data to the community that helps drive economic development. And if you know, the college is has a governing board and takes direction from the governing board. Two of the four pillars, excuse me, the goals or ends or strategic initiatives, however you want to look at it, two of them are economic responsiveness and engaged community. The REDC is one way the college helps fulfill those commitments. The REDC also houses the SBDC, and I don't know how much you want me to go into that since I...
Well, the Small Business Development Center is really integral to this community because entrepreneurship is so huge in a smaller town, and that's something they're really, really helping our small business people with.
Exactly, and I think I should make the audience aware that the SBDC provides services to our community for free. Can I say that again?
You can say it. It is for free, folks.
For free, folks. So if you come to the SBDC, which is in the REDC building, a lot of acronyms, I apologize, but you can get free one-on-one, face-to-face, confidential counseling from a business counselor that can help you start up or maintain or grow mm-hmm. and sustain your business.
So what are some of the things that small business people really need to know and really look at before they actually launch a business?
I can't tell you how many, I call them folks, entrepreneurs, come through the door. I have this great idea for a widget. I've already made a couple. I'm selling them out of my garage, and they never spent a single moment with the foundational blocks of a business, you know, the basics, the business plan, the balance sheet, the components that root or anchor a business so that it can grow and sustain and become much larger than mm-hmm. your garage operation.
So the SBDC can actually help formulate a business plan and give an idea some legs.
Absolutely. The counselors are very talented. They come from a wide array of businesses and experience, marketing, financial, banking, mm-hmm. Et cetera, they can help the young entrepreneur or the old mm-hmm. Get started or correct an existing business.
Right, that might be failing or to help them do better. Now, there's been some big wins for the SBDC, Clear Creek Winery, say that fast three times, was recently named the success story or success business in Arizona.
Clear Creek, Ignacio Mesa and his team they're in Camp Verde, winery, local winery. They counsel with the SBDC and with the counselors there, and we help them, we don't run his business, but we help him develop and grow his business and so forth. And yes, they won the state award for our center. And just last week, we went to the state capitol, honored Ignacio and Susan, and nice plaque, nice award, trophy kind of thing and event. It was very nice.
And there's another business that's been in the news quite a bit and quite popular. That is Risaware. Local Glenn Hinshaw has developed this company and it's going international. And he needed trained personnel to run his mobile kiosks that'll be placed in Costco, Walmart, Macy's around the country. But he needs trained 3D printers and other types of technicians. Came to the city. City partnered with the college. And tell us about how that rolled out.
Huge success story. We're very proud of it, and it appears to be going extremely well. I talked to Glenn last week, and we have another cohort of students or employees, however you want to look at it, coming up April 4th, I think. Don't quote me on that.
I believe it's April 7th.
But yes, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yep. And that was a partnership between, of course, Glenn and his group, the city of Prescott, and the college. And we did that. We put that together, many people don't know, over the Christmas break. So while the college was closed and most of the folks that were working on this should have been off, we actually worked through the holiday and made it happen and pulled it together.
Yeah, and they had a full cohort, and those people will graduate shortly and get their jobs. The great pull for that particular program is the paid internships and the promise, if they complete their training adequately, promise of $25 an hour plus jobs. So I think those two things combined, plus NACOG stepping up and helping paid tuition for qualifying students, really helped put it all together. Richard, thank you so much for being here today. We really appreciate it. Rough Rider Radio wouldn't be the same this episode without you. We're going to take a short break and return with fitness expert Paula Tomitz, and I think she's doing chin-ups out on the doorframe out there as we speak. Come on back, folks. We'll be right back.
A college education can get really expensive. That's why people choose Yavapai College. They've done the math. Yavapai's tuition is thousands less than a state or private university. Definitely the best choice for a low-cost, high-quality education with super supportive instructors. You can take credit classes to earn a degree or certificate, to transfer over to another institution, or simply for personal enjoyment. Register today at yc.edu. Yavapai College. Life explored.
You're listening to Rough Rider Radio on KQNA. Once again, here's your host, Kim Capen.
And we are back with Paula Tomitz. She coordinates the fitness facilities at YC and helps YC employees find ways to live happier, healthier lives. Welcome.
Thank you, Kim.
Well, you have a couple of roles here at the college. You operate, coordinate activities over at the fitness center. You're also involved with the Yavapai Combined Trust in health and wellness. But I want to focus a little bit on health and wellness.
Sure.
What are some of the things that you see out in our community in general? And Yavapai College employees are very representative of our community at large.
Right.
What are some of the biggest health challenges?
I think the biggest challenge is finding the time for yourself to work on your own health and wellness, whether that be taking a walk or hitting the gym or getting in the pool, whatever it might be. I know that we have so many things that are packed into our daily schedules that fitness and wellness kind of takes a back seat. So that, I believe, is the number one challenge. The second challenge, followed very closely, is the just being able to eat a healthy diet. Mm. That's a rough one because, again, we're so busy. We're on the go. We think, oh, I'll just, you know, hit this drive-through on the way to work. Or maybe you don't eat breakfast at all. You know, people do that sometimes.
Yeah, so, I hear people do that.
Yeah. So that's also a big challenge is the proper nutrition. Mm-hmm. And if I feel like even if you can get the proper nutrition going first, then you'll feel better about yourself and then you'll want to take care of your body mm-hmm. and your health and your wellness. So the fitness would probably follow after that.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a couple of specific things I'm guessing are the prime sort of areas that people focus on when, mm-hmm. when they come to you. I would think one would be smoking on the wellness side.
Right.
And the other would be overweight or weight issues.
Actually, the smoking thing is not really an issue with YC team members, which mm-hmm. is kind of nice, actually. But the three things that we found through our health screenings last year that YC team members, of course, Yavapai College employees being part of that, the three top issues would be high cholesterol, obesity, and diabetes prevention. So those three things are so closely tied together that if you could just manage your obesity, the chances are pretty good that you will, if you're pre-diabetic, those symptoms would hopefully abate. And also if you have high cholesterol, but you're managing your obesity, losing some weight, watching what you're eating, the cholesterol levels will also go down. So it's interesting to me, but not a surprise that those three things mm-hmm. are very closely tied together.
And can people eliminate the medications they take for some of those maladies
Absolutely.
By changing their diet and lifestyle?
Some people absolutely can. Now, there are people, obviously, that have genetic disorders. I know that genetically I'm predisposed to having high cholesterol, mm-hmm. and my mother's the same way. But when I get my blood work done and I look at my HDL levels, you know, my good lipids versus my bad lipids, I'm okay. I know they'd like to see that number go down, but I'm not going to take medication.
Mm-hmm.
That's a personal choice, but I do work out quite often. Mm-hmm. So I'm managing my cholesterol that way and my diet's good.
So speaking of working out quite mm-hmm. often, mm-hmm. You have a history. You were a competitive bodybuilder,
yeah.
weightlifter,
yeah.
and a business owner. You and your husband, Scott, owned a business in town here for over 20 years. And tell us about that.
So I started competitive bodybuilding back in my late teens. I was probably, well, maybe I was even a little older, probably in my early 20s. And just fell in love with it. And I think that's probably why I ended up going into the health and fitness field. I was previously in computer science and that wasn't working
really?
Out so well for me.
Can't
yeah.
imagine.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. So started doing the competitive bodybuilding, just really fell in love with it. and changed my major, you know, went into teacher's education, physical education. And I taught that for many, many years. And that was a lot of fun. I think I competed for about 9 years total. And then we did own a small little powerlifting gym here in town. And that was awesome. And that kind of got me into the mood to want to try a powerlifting meet. And so I did do that. That was kind of a short-lived career.
How'd you do with that, by the way?
I actually set, I want to say, at least 4 world records in that division.
Did you really?
Yeah. Because I was, you know, a little bit older, and I didn't weigh a whole lot. And so, yeah, I think I ended up setting 4 or 5 world records.
So for those of you at home who don't know Paula, she's probably all of 5'2" and 100 pounds. So that's a pretty amazing feat.
I did deadlift double my body weight. So that was kind of my big, that's my big claim to fame. And I have a picture of myself doing it on the wall in my office. And
hard to imagine.
I get a lot of, you know, respect for that. People walk in and they go, "Is that you?"
Yeah. I think you scare a lot of us. So you became also a personal trainer after that.
Yeah.
And to me, that's a natural progression. And that ties into what we do offer at the fitness center.
Right.
So if you can tie the personal training in with some of the facilities we have here at YC, I think our audience would like to hear about that.
Right. Yeah, I did do personal training on and off for many years, became a group exercise instructor, did that for a good 10 and a half plus years. Till I got this full-time position, and just love my position. My office is inside the fitness center. It's awesome. We have a great facility. I feel like it's kind of a well-kept secret, same as our pool. I have people from the community come in and say, "Wow, I didn't know you guys had a pool," you know, and they've lived here for, you know, 3 to 5 years or maybe more. And so, but we do offer personal training. We have very qualified fitness center instructors. There's always an instructor on staff when we have open hours. And it's just a really great, clean, you know, non-judgmental environment. And, you know, we get a nice group because we have our athletes that come in, and then we have our senior citizens that come in, and then we have everybody in between, you know.
As a user, I will say it's a fantastic place to come to. And as you were alluding to, I mean, it's not a pretentious place to hang out. It's not a scene.
No.
And people of all ages come there for their particular affinity, whether it's getting on a treadmill or exercise bike or weightlifting or stretching. It's all available. There.
Yeah, we pretty much pride ourselves on having pretty much something for everyone. We've got platforms if you want to do any kind of Olympic lifting. We've got the bumper plates. We've got dumbbells, kettlebells, battle ropes, machines, like you said, cardio equipment. I mean, it really, we do, for such a small space, relatively small space, we pack a lot of really great equipment in there.
And it's terribly affordable. Tell us about the cost, because some of these gyms are, you know, they're very competitive in terms of what they offer at a monthly membership. But the YC Fitness Center is actually very, very competitive and offers a sort of unique environment.
Yes, it is. We try to keep it very affordable. So if you are a community member, it is $25 a month to use the fitness center. And if you are faculty, staff, or a student, then it is $12.50 a month. It's half price. We also do offer yearly rates as well. We also have a combo pass. So if you decide, I don't want to just do the fitness center, I'd like to do the pool as well. So the combo pass, again, for a community member, $40 a month. For student, faculty, staff, $20 a month. So it's very reasonable. And we try to keep it that way. You know, we don't offer a lot of discounts. I have people come in and say, "Well, do you have a senior discount?" Well, no, but, you know, we're $25 a month, and we feel like that's really reasonable. And you really do get a lot for that because, like I said, we've got those instructors that are very qualified, and they're more than happy to help you. It's not going to be personal training per se, but if you have questions or if you need a spot or you're kind of tired of your old routine, or maybe you're doing something wrong, you know, they're going to come over and say, "Hey, can I show you, you know, a safer way to do that?" Or, you know, they're all very knowledgeable. And so, and we become really good friends with the people that come in there. You know, they come in and they'll sometimes stay for a good 15, 20 minutes, maybe longer afterwards, just kind of chatting with the staff. And it's great. It's a really nice environment.
And there are locker room facilities as well.
There are. We have full locker rooms for both men and women. We do offer a towel service in the fitness center, so we always have a towel there for you guys. Just leave it at the door when you leave. And so we do have plenty of showers, plenty of lockers, you know, benches, et cetera, restrooms. And you can even rent the lockers if you want to for a very small fee for the year. That way you don't have to kind of cart your stuff back and forth if you want to do that as well. So.
And there are some related classes like Pilates and Zumba and so on. Does that come through your division or is that more on the recreational side?
Yeah, it's still in our department, but it is a different division because those are actually credit classes. Mm-hmm. So you would have to sign up for those. Most of them are one credit classes. All those ones you mentioned, you know, yoga, Pilates, total body conditioning. We have lots of classes in the pool as well. Aquafit, Swim Fitness. Those are all one credit classes. So those would be whatever the going rate is right now. I think it's $80-something if I remember correctly. And so those you would just go online and register for those. They run for the one semester. Obviously we're pretty much, you know, in the tail end of this semester, but we're going to be registering for summer classes next week. And for fall classes, I think a few weeks later. So they're very popular. I would suggest if you want to join in any of those classes to sign up sooner rather than later because they do fill up.
How does the community tie in with the fitness center? You know, I see young kids training for swim meets, et cetera. Mm-hmm. What's the relationship between the Yavapai College pool and the local school districts?
Yeah, so we do have a swim club that practices in our pool every day from 4 to 5:30. That's the Prescott Pirates. And a lot of the kids that will swim team will do the club in the off season. And so depending on the time of the year, you'll see high school kids swimming in there from Prescott High School, Bradshaw, you know, some from Chino, and also some of the middle school kids that maybe are up and coming and want to do swim team when they get a little older. So that's kind of a nice, they have swam there for many, many, way, way before I was here. So we have a really good, strong relationship with them. We do at least one big swim meet every year with them. And, we offer a really great swim school in the summer for the little kids. Mm-hmm. So for those parents that are interested, I always get questions about this time of year. And we usually start that in June. And they usually run for the months of June and July. They're 2-week sessions. That'll be on our website when that, you know, a little closer to the time.
Okay.
But, you know, it's never too early to start the kids swimming, especially in the state of Arizona.
Okay. In your last 20 seconds,
yes,
give us the website and what we can find on that page.
Okay. So the website is yc.edu, and then you would do a / HPER. So that stands for Health, Physical Education, Recreation. And then you can choose from the pool or group exercise, et cetera, and click on those and all the information's there, open hours, prices, et cetera.
Very good. Paula, thank you for joining us today. Folks, stay tuned for more Rough Rider Radio right after this.
Yavapai College is your community college with 6 campus locations throughout Yavapai County, offering a wide variety of quality, affordable academic programs and job training that's designed to get you working quickly. Stay connected with Yavapai College through social media and receive the latest news about Performing Arts Center shows, art exhibitions, upcoming enrollment dates, course schedules, and more. It's all available by just visiting the college website at yc.edu. Now, let's return to Rough Rider Radio with your host, Kim Capen.
Special thanks to Paula Tomit and Richard Hernandez for appearing on today's show. And thank you, audience, for supporting Yavapai College. Remember, you can find information on all YC classes, news, sporting events, concerts, and more by visiting yc.edu and following Yavapai College on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. This is Kim Capen back with you on Rough Rider Radio next week.
You've been listening to Rough Rider Radio with your host, Kim Capen. The views expressed on today's show are solely those of Yavapai College and do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our sponsors. Join us next Saturday at 12:30 for Rough Rider Radio on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A.
Rough Rider Radio was paid for by Yavapai College and were solely responsible for its content.